Tonight I want to talk just a minute about the requirements. Okay, now for a revival, just by definition of the word, and certainly as taught in the Bible, you need a standard. When they revive people there at the hospital, they check their vital signs and they have a standard. Someone over there can tell you what the standard, what a healthy heart rate would be for a person of a certain weight. And blood pressure, I take a pill every day for blood pressure. I know what the standard rate is for that. I'm not saying that I'm in the range all the time. But anyway, they have a standard. Okay, in the Bible, there's a standard for the life of God's people, Old Testament and New. And we mentioned last night the New Testament standard is most clearly defined for us and explained by the Lord Jesus himself in that talk he gave his disciples the night before he died, John 13:14. Finish it for me. Come on, you've got to be listening a little bit. 13:14. 15, 16, and 17. That's right. Now, the requirements. Now, a revival by definition is something that God does for me. I had a fellow one time tell me in our country church where I had an emphasis on revival, my wife and I have decided we're not going to pray for revival anymore. Do you want to know why? I said, well, yeah. He said, we figured out if we were just obedient to Christ, we would have revival and we wouldn't have to pray for it. I said, well, I understand what you're saying, but there's a couple of problems with that. Number one, if you're living in revival, what about everybody else? Don't you think it would help to pray for the others in the church? Number two, we aren't good at reaching the standard all by ourselves. You know, the revival psalm, Psalm 85, has the prayer, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? But an earlier verse is a prayer that says, turn us, O God of our salvation. Do you know I'm not even good at repenting? It's appropriate to say, Lord, turn me. Okay, but God consistently from the front of the Bible to the end says, if you'll do this, I will revive you. I'll lift you up. I'll bring you back. Those are biblical terms. I really will lift you up to that higher ground where we all want to be. And here's what the requirements are. Number one, humble yourself. And number two, seek his face. We've already talked about what it is to seek his face, but to get away from or move aside that great obstacle to revival of human pride, we have to deliberately humble ourselves. And then number two, seek his face. Now, write down these places. 2 Chronicles 7:14. That's really what that boils down to. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and then seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. If you seek the face of God, you will turn from your wicked ways. But the other one I want you to write down, you're doing work here, aren't you? Okay. James 4:1-10. That's the great, not the only, but the great revival passage in the New Testament, James 4:1-10. It tells you the problem. It tells you the solution. It has in it the line that says, God, sorry, it must be Minnesota. God resisted the proud. I can get some water now. Is that where you're going? Good. I didn't expect that. God, don't you like to hear a guy cough? God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. Tells us to humble ourselves. Then it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you, which is a New Testament way of referring to seek my face. So that's fine. We're done with that. Now let me tell you about one of the books on the table. Some of the books on the table are actually an extension of the ministry of a revivalist and evangelist who have gone on, who have died. And I'm glad to be able to continue the ministry of men who have influenced me. One of them was an evangelist who died in 1980 by the name of John R. Rice, a phenomenal preacher filled with the Holy Spirit who continued revival themes among Bible-believing people during an era where people had pretty well given up on revival. We're kind of back there now. One of the books out there is a book called We Can Have Revival Now. Man, how many glasses do I have here? Might run out of one of them, eh? I think one sip will do me. We'll find out. Here we go. Okay.
We figure three are better than two.
I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. I'm drinking at the fountain that never... Okay. Some of you are familiar, of course, with Ann Arbor Baptist Church. That's where Mrs. Magnuson's from. One year when I was there, now I'm going to tell you what I've told other people. And Tiffany, right? That's your name, right? Okay, good. So. Tabitha, see, it starts with a T. That's as close as Rick Flanders gets. When I tell this story, I'll tell people it's a serious church. And that's a compliment. Ann Arbor Baptist Church is serious. And I'm not always serious. I think I'm always serious, but I'm always somber. But I don't like to joke all the time. Well, I was up there, and they have on their pulpit two to three glasses behind where you can't see them. And they are actually engraved. One of them says pastor, as in Pastor Hearth. Another one had the name of the song leader. And then the third one says guest. That would be me. Okay, so I decided to, lighten things up a little bit. I told people about those glasses. Do you know about this? And the song leader, everybody kind of laughed because he was a jovial type of guy. And I mentioned the three on that deal. Well, when I was preaching, and I was as serious as they were, and I was really down there talking about something important, and I got thirsty, and I took a drink, and there was a group of people over here at Ann Arbor Baptist Church who were just breaking up, laughing uncontrollably. They couldn't stop. They would look at each other, and that is real unusual at Ann Arbor Baptist Church. And it was distracting, and I said, what's going on? Well, I ended up that I drank from the song leader's glass. And they thought that was really hilarious because I had kidded earlier about it. So anyway, now I'm way off track. So I'll go back to this. John R. Rice has a book out there. There's only one copy left called We Can Have Revival Now. Lectures given in Bob Jones University in 1950 to debunk the idea that we are past the era of revival, that revivals cannot happen now. And he does it well and scripturally. And those lectures could have been given yesterday because the need is there again. But I wanted to mention to you his great book on prayer, Prayer Asking and Receiving. Dr. Rice starts with a thesis that praying in the Bible is asking for something, not just meditation, not just confession or praise, but the way a word pray actually means to ask for something. And the big fat book goes to all the scriptures in the Bible that deal with how Christian people can pray with the object of getting our prayers answered. He has a chapter about praying for the sick. He has a chapter about praying to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He has a couple of chapters, I think, about fasting in prayer. Did you know that's in the Bible? The Lord Jesus Christ didn't say if you fast. He said when you fast. And, you know, I'll tell you, this book takes you somewhere. And I'm glad it's hardback now. His ministry, the Sword of the Lord Publishers, now publishes it in hardback. And the reason I'm glad for that is because all the years it's been out, often in paperback, people will wear the paperback right out because you'll read it over and over again. Not only is there clear Bible teaching in this book, it is illustrated with practical incidents and illustrations from Dr. Rice's own life and other people and other great books on prayer. And I'll tell you, you will devour the book. I'm talking about a teenager will devour the book, and you will never pray the same. Now, that's a pretty exaggerated thing to say. It was in Brooklyn, New York, had the book on my table, didn't make as big a deal out of it as I'm making right now. And we had a lady testify near the end of the week where the pastor called for testimonies. She had bought the book early in the week, and already her whole vision about what her relationship to God and what God will do for us had changed. And I am not surprised. And Dr. Rice wrote a lot of books, but he will be remembered for that book foremost in 100 years. I really think it's true.